Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Cain coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Some very interesting news to get to today, folks, involving Tony Khan, involving Matt Riddle. But I do want to start out with something kind of unusual, and I know a lot of people have been sort of poking fun at it, but it's not funny, really, and it can be serious. And that is CJ Perry, former Lana, has announced that she has to have a second surgery on her finger, her middle finger, due to an infection. It sounds ridiculous, I know. And then there's a lot of people who don't really get it, who's like, oh, my God, your finger's infected, big freaking deal, pour a little peroxide on it and, you know, suck it up. No, I'll tell you, once you get that infection inside, it can hit your bloodstream. It can end up in sepsis, like what happened to Dutch Mantel. It can be serious. Be serious. You don't just have a surgery because for the hell of it, if you could pour peroxide on, okay? This is her second surgery on this finger. So they got to get this thing under control. So obviously we wish her the best. She did work through it. She went out to the ring with Andretti, who's now on his way to the WWE, from what I hear. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But, yeah, you know, for the benefit of people that really don't understand and think it's just, you know, overhyped and big deal. It's not a big deal. It can be. It can be a big deal, especially if it gets in your bloodstream. So we wish her the best. Hope everything's okay there, Mike. There seems to be a lot of infection going on in the world of professional wrestling. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's what caught Bray Wyatt was an infection. Yeah, he might have gotten over it, but ultimately, he passed away from it, I guess, maybe, you know. So, yeah, infections are a big deal. And like you said, they got to get this thing under control. She's still just 37 years old, right? You know, she's got – and she has said that she wants to be the female version of Paul Heyman, manager, you know, female version of Paul Heyman. So – for her to do that, she's got to be around and around for a long time, you know. So we wish her the best. I want to see Lana. She's good at what she does. I mean, as an athlete, yeah, she's a good athlete, but she's still green. Even at her late age, she's still green as grass in the ring. But if they can make her that manager, valet, you know what – for instance, I give you an example. What did Missy Hyatt do all those years?
Right, right. Yeah, no. Very, very similar type thing, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, and look, I'm not suggesting that this is life-threatening necessarily. I'm just saying I've read a lot of people online saying, oh, my God, what a drama queen. No, it can be, I mean, listen, it's not going to be life-threatening, but it could lead to, like, an amputation. Infections of a particular finger or a toe or something that will not go away and get into the bone marrow, if you don't get it corrected, it can lead to an amputation. So, yeah, it's more serious. It's not really anything to joke about, Todd. So we wish her the best. You know, two surgeries in a row to fight the infection. Apparently the first one didn't work so well.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, the situation, the health situation with Lana and everything, like this is like a serious matter here. What somebody in that condition with losing a finger or a toe or a foot, It's,
and you could from an infection. So I just didn't want people to laugh at it and hit her up on her social media saying, oh, you know, poor baby, you know, big deal. It can be, folks. It sounds, I know, it doesn't sound like a big deal, but it can be. Anyway, let's talk about Tony Khan, because honestly, I think Tony Khan is going crazy. I predicted Tony Khan was going to melt down. I predicted this federation was going to be in chaos before too long into 2024, didn't I? I told you, if they don't correct this, 2024 is going to be a bad year. Because it seemed like his behavior was getting worse and worse and worse. And now, I mean, first off, he shows up at the media scrum wearing some kind of bizarre wig. I don't have no idea what that's all about. Then he tweets, you know, people are saying that it's ridiculous to give Hook a title shot when he's 28-1 career, but nobody's saying anything about Jinder Mahal getting a shot at Seth Rollins next week, and Jinder Mahal hasn't won a match in a year. Holy cow, Tony. Why are you so worried about WWE programming? What in the hell is the matter with you? You're a grown man and a multi-millionaire. What the hell difference does it make who the WWE decides to give a title shot to? Why do you care? Now, I know what he's going to say. He's going to say, well, they're picking on me about giving Hook a title shot. Well, number one, I didn't hear anybody pick on me about that. But if they did, maybe it's because the kid has not had but, what, 50 matches in his whole life. I don't care if he's 28-1 in AEW. Jinder Mahal has held the WWE Championship. Yes, he's been underutilized. Yes, he's not been used. Yes, he's been a punching bag. It doesn't matter. He's still a former WWE Champion. Can't compare that to Hook. My God. You'd have actually been more on target if you had said, I didn't hear anybody complaining about them giving Logan Paul a title shot. That would be more accurate. Because Logan Paul hasn't had that many matches either. And he's lost two very big matches to Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, right? So that would have been a better comparison. But no, you got to drag poor Jinder Mahal into it. You got to drag Jinder's name up. And it just makes you look foolish. And it makes you look like a very petty, scared, paranoid, delusional owner. And nobody wants to work for that. What, do you think there's people in the AEW locker room who's not friends with Jinder Mahal? You think there's people there that don't, you know, have connections to WWE wrestlers, many of them including Mahal? What do you think they're going to feel about that? These workers, they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear Jinder Mahal's a punching bag. He doesn't deserve a title shot. Well, who made him a punching bag? It's not like he's going out there really winning a match. These matches are all predetermined. So, Tony, you got the power to do that, too. If tomorrow you wanted Hook to lose 10 straight matches, then he's going to lose 10 straight matches, right? If you want him to win 100 straight matches, he's going to win 100 straight matches. The records have no bearing on it because they're not really winning or losing. They have no control over it. Perhaps it's a part of a storyline, Tony. You know, something you should look into. It's called a storyline. Or it's called trying to elevate some talent that you've misused in the past, rather than to just throw them away and hire somebody else when you're done with them. One squeeze of the orange and throw the orange away. Next orange. I don't know, folks. I've given AEW every chance in the world. I've told you there's people over there that are among my favorite wrestlers. great, great athletes over there, great workers over there, some of them. A few that I think are blue chippers and up-and-coming talent. I don't know what's going to happen if Tony Khan remains in power like this, because he's embarrassing himself, he's embarrassing the company, he's embarrassing the workers. And now, just as I predicted, remember what I said. I said, if you end up trying to run a federation based on woke ideology, they're going to come for you, and they're coming for him now. Now they're saying, oh, well, you didn't have, how come you aren't talking about Chris Jericho and his allegations, which we'll get to. I don't know, Mike. He's got to learn to shut his mouth, because this is a complete embarrassment to the company. And it's an insult, actually, to the wrestlers themselves, not just Jinder Mahal. It's an insult to the wrestlers.
Right. And there's been rumors about, you know, we all know that Sheamus's contract is coming up, and there've been rumors about Sheamus going to AEW. Well, if they're saying this stuff, what must Sheamus be thinking? There's always been rumors. There's been rumors about because of his contract, Drew McIntyre going to AEW. Well, Drew McIntyre ain't going anywhere, and he ain't going anywhere anytime soon, and he sure as hell wouldn't be going to AEW because of this. I mean, this is a guy, we've talked about this. There are reasons, and this is probably one of the reasons why Cody was willing to give up his power. Because he saw where things were going, right? He saw where things were going. You got Lana and Rusev over there. Lana's going into surgery. She's going to be probably gone for a length of time, but she's still under contract to them. I would assume that Lana's pretty good friends with Jinder Mahal, right? You know?
Yeah, so, and I'm sure Rusev did too, and this is my point. You're insulting people. It doesn't even make, what he says doesn't make any sense. And the one point that you brought up that I think is worth exploring is this. It used to be when AEW first started that if the WWE was giving you a hassle or you were getting bored or not satisfied with the way you were being used, you wanted to go to AEW. Oh, because Tony Khan promises, you know, we can police ourselves and we can kind of run our own show, and he's going to be really, you know, worker friendly and let us do what we want. It's going to be one big happy little island with all the boys, and the boys are going to kind of just control themselves and we'll be kumbaya happy. And it turned into Lord of the Flies, where, okay, we don't want parents, we just want kids, and the kids will rule. And then what does it become? And that's exactly what AEW's become. It's become Lord of the Friggin' Flies. Stage, you got people threatening people. You got people yelling and screaming and hollering in social media. You got an owner that can't keep his mouth shut for 2 seconds about another company that he's never, ever, 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 ever going to be bigger than. But, again, I know there's going to be people. Every time I do this, then people say, you just hate AEW. I don't. But I'm not blind. Can you not see that this guy is driving his own federation into the shitter? He can't shut up. Just shut up. Put on the best product you can possibly put on, and don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Do you see Triple H on social media saying, hey, did you see this? Did you see that? Did you see what happened on AEW? No. You don't see it. Tony Khan has learned something very valuable, but he doesn't know how to react to it. He has learned that if you poke the bear in the WWE, they don't respond on Twitter. They respond by cutting your knees off business-wise. There's a possibility that Warner Brothers Discovery is going to pick up a WWE show, and that probably means they're not going to continue with AEW. That's been a rumor for a while. Now there's a big rumor that WWE and New Japan are going to work together. That used to be the AEW's forte. And Tony Khan is beginning to see that the way the WWE plays hardball is they cut your knees off, they cut your legs off at the knee, business-wise. And that's, Tony Khan can't fight back. He doesn't know how to fight back. So he takes the social media and says crap about Jinder Mahal rather than to say, look, we know we got to get our New Japan deal back. Look, we got to solidify Warner Brothers Discovery. Look, we got to solidify our show. He's not worried about that. He's worried about why Jinder Mahal has a title shot. Because he's a fan. He's not an owner. He may own it. But he does not have the qualification to run this. And now it's becoming extraordinarily obvious. If you want to be taken seriously, you don't show up at a media scrum with a fright wig on. Things about other workers that one day you might want to work with. How do you think Jinder Mahal feels about this? That's an insult to him. Oh, how does Jinder Mahal get a title shot? So what are you saying? If he was in AEW, he'd be a punching bag too, right, Tony? How do the people feel in AEW that haven't had a title shot? That's the way you think about them? That's the way you treat your workers? I warned everybody, you're not going to be able to do this. You need strong leadership. You need someone who's going to keep the inmates sane. Wrestling is a weird business. There's a lot of egos. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on, and you got to be able to keep all this in check and put on a quality show. You cannot allow the inmates to run the asylum. I'm sorry. I was one of the inmates. I understand. I understand what it's like backstage. I understand what it's like with all of these people. And everybody wants their spot, and everybody's got a big ego, and everybody thinks they're better than everybody else. You could do something better. I get it. Everybody's hungry and they want their moment in the spotlight and everything else. You got to have somebody who can rein you in. You got to have somebody who can say, let's focus on this. And instead, Tony Khan is the biggest inmate of them all. He's on social media every 5 minutes crying about what is or is not. Todd, you just can't have this and be the owner.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I remember a couple months ago when they had that sort of Tuesday night war between NXT and AEW, and Tony Khan went on a social media complaining about having the older wrestlers like the WWE Hall of Famers on there making appearances, like a big crybaby about it.
Right. He said, oh, they got to do this. They got to bring the under to the NXT to even beat us. But then you got Sting, who's older than The Undertaker. You got Ric Flair, who's older than The Undertaker. You just hired Edge. What are you talking about, Tony? What's happening now, I think, is Tony Khan is buckling under the pressure of being an owner of a company he really has lost control of. And that's not good. That's not a good sign. If Tony Khan is smart, the move he makes is back away. Be the owner, be the financier of it, let somebody else run it. Let somebody else be the head of it. Yes, he answers to you, but you don't be that guy. Stay off social media, stay out of the media scrums, let somebody professional go in there and speak and stop this nonsense. Because I'm telling you, if this continues, you're not going to make it through 2024. You're not even going to make it through 2024. It's going to self-destruct. Everybody's going to leave. When their contracts are up, they're going to be like, I don't want to be a part of this circus anymore. My God, they're still talking about the CM Punk Jack Perry thing. How long has that been gone? And they're still talking about it. Because every day it's another wrestler who said, well, I didn't say anything, but I saw what happened. Oh, God, here's another one. And it's funny. You got 12 wrestlers who apparently seen everything that happened, and they all have a different story. So I guess they've all seen it a different way. Forget it. If I was Tony Khan, I would say, if this is mentioned one more time on social media by any of you guys, you're fine. It's over. CM Punk does not work for this company. Opinion means nothing at this point. Stay off of social media with your nonsense about what happened. It's a dead issue, you understand? And if you don't understand, your pocketbook will understand, because it'll be a $5,000 fine the first time and a $25,000 fine the second time. Put an end to that nonsense. Never in my life. I don't know. You know, there's speculation. I don't want to, we don't deal with speculation on this show, but there's strong speculation that Tony Khan sometimes has some issues with not being, what's the right word? I'm trying to be careful here. Not being in his own mind. Okay? Having altered his consciousness, let's put it that way. And I believe, I'm starting to believe it. Starting to believe it, because I don't know anybody who would do this. I just don't. How can you tell the boys to stay off social media and stop complaining and stop bitching and stop fighting with fans when you're doing it and you're the owner? I don't know, Mike. This has got to correct itself, or AEW's in trouble.
Right. And think about it. You look at all the rest of the maybe not so much NWA, but you look at WWE, even under Triple H, you don't have these problems, even under Triple H, right? You look at Impact or TNA now, none of these problems. Even with some of the crazy crap that Corrigan has done, he's basically been quiet on social media, and so is his wrestlers. You know, so other than, you know, promoting their characters or whatever, you know. But that's the thing. This is a guy, you're right. At times you look at this guy, Tony Khan, and it's almost like he needs a white coat, he needs a rubber room, and he needs some Thorazine, you know.
Yeah, this is it. Something's not right somewhere. And I think wrestlers know it. Here's another thing. I don't blame wrestlers for getting the most money for doing what they do out of whoever they can get it from. I get it. You want to feed your family. You want to be in the best possible financial situation you can be. I get it. But if you're just feeding a delusional man because he's rich and just saying, ha, that guy's an idiot, but he signs my paycheck, so we'll take advantage of him. We'll milk him for his money. We'll go over there and tell him, oh, here's what you need to do, Tony, and he'll say yes, and then you're not, you know, you're disgracing yourself. You're disgracing yourself. If he's delusional and he's a money mark and you can talk him into anything and you're basically robbing him of his money, stop already then. Find a federation to work for that, you know, that you can say is being run well. And if you're not doing that, you're out there to do the very best you can do for AEW, start putting some of these people in line. Start naming names. You want to be a locker room leader? Start naming names. Start coming out and saying, look, so-and-so are in Tony Khan's ear, and it's poisoning this system, and we're tired of it. AEW could be something, but you can't be, you know, vampiric when it comes to bleeding him dry of his whatever, and you can't have this type of behavior. Instead, everybody, like, piles on the behavior. Now you got a new guy coming out saying, I saw it happened with the CM Punk thing. God, please, leave it alone. It's bad enough that Chris Jericho did it. I can't believe Jericho, as seasoned of a veteran as he is, on Christmas Day by a lawyer who is representing CM Punk by saying, I never signed a non-disclosure agreement, and I don't have an NDA, and I don't follow any rule books in AEW. Oh, well, you don't? Well, it's not very interesting then. Then you've just proven my point. When Stephen P. New said to him, well, you may not have signed an NDA, but it's in your code of conduct book that everybody gets from AEW. It's actually in there. What does Chris Jericho say? instead of Jericho saying, oh, well, I was unaware of that, and nobody ever made me aware of it, he says, I don't care. I don't follow that. Oh, you don't? So you get the code of conduct book, and you say, yep, thank you very much. I'll just rip that up and do what I want. Since when? How about if you went to your job and they said, here is your guidelines of what you know what you have to do and how you what you have to wear and the things you can do and not, and you say, thank you very much, I'll just rip that up in your face. What do you think would happen? You'd be fired. It's unbelievable. I like Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho, I know a lot of people have had trouble with Chris Jericho. I've always stuck up for Chris Jericho. I've never seen him be rude to fans, ever. I've seen it on video, but I don't know what the fans have done to him, because every time I've seen him live, he was fantastic. I've never heard anybody say he was terribly hard to work with, or he wouldn't do this, or he wouldn't do that. Everybody seems to respect Jericho. But Jericho is one of those guys who went over there and decided, I'm going to bleed Tony Khan of his money, and I can do what I want anytime I want and F him because he can't afford to fire me. I believe that. Because that's the only reason you'd say I'll tear that book up. I don't follow that book. Since when? You're an employee. So then what ends up happening is Jericho gets accused of, I guess, sexual misconduct. I believe it's Kylie Rae, right, or whatever, said that she was invited to go to his room. Well, she doesn't say it. The rumor is she was invited to go to his room for a meeting. It was supposed to be several people there. Instead, there was only Jericho there, and he supposedly made a pass at her. And she refuted the pass, went to Tony Khan, and the rumor is that Tony Khan paid her a whole bunch of money to sign an NDA that she wouldn't talk about it because he didn't dare fire Chris Jericho because Jericho was his number one guy at the time. Now, do I believe it? Not necessarily, because this is the same girl who quit the wrestling federation because wrestling business because she said she had mental issues. So I don't know whether I believe it or not, but here we go. This is what happens with the woke mob. Oh, we heard this. There doesn't need to be any proof. Fire him. And now Tony Khan, I don't know if I can. Hulk Hogan can't come in the building because he said a naughty word, but Chris Jericho could be the champion because I need him. You see, you're all phonies and you're all hypocrites. And then Tony Khan gets on Twitter to say that WWE is hypocrites and the fans are hypocrites. No, Tony, you're the biggest hypocrite. I got news for you. Was there sexual misconduct allegations against Jim Ross? Yes, by Missy Hyatt. To me personally. She personally told me Jim Ross sexually harassed her. How about that? Was there sexual misconduct allegations against Taz? Yes, by some girl who ran a tanning salon. Now, I don't know whether it was proven or it wasn't, but there it was. So I'm sorry to tell you that you have selective enforcement of your rules. And when you have selective enforcement of your rules, this is what happened. Andrade is a professional. He realized, I'm getting the hell out of here. And believe me when I tell you, he's not getting the hell out of there because of his lot in life. He's not, I'm not a big enough name here, so I'm leaving. I don't believe that for a heartbeat. He's getting great money. So Jim Duggan probably has the best analogy. He said, I spent years and years and years and years, 40 years in this business. I was never a WWE champion. And the reason is, not everybody's the lead singer of the band. I spent my entire career being the drummer for Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage, and all of those people. And it was a good spot to be in. And look what it's done for me. I have a wonderful lifestyle. Beautiful house. Couldn't ask for better. So it's not that, folks. It's that he realizes it's a circus over there, and he doesn't want to be associated with it. Sting is retiring. I think he's realizing, look, you know, this is a circus. Sting could go on for 5 more years doing what? Just managing if he doesn't want to wrestle. Tony Khan would pay him. Sting has the integrity to say, I'm not going to steal this man's money and end my career in a circus. And I do believe you'll see Sting pop up somewhere else. I do believe it. I don't think he's retiring. He might be retiring from in-ring. He may be having his final match. But I don't think you'll see no more Sting in the wrestling business, Mike. I think that Sting just realized this isn't where I want to totally finish out because I think he sees the writing on the wall.
I think he sees the writing on the wall as well. And, I mean, I'm assuming that this the Flair thing is a sort of, you know, short-term deal, you know, just until Sting has his, quote, final match, right? I mean, I'm sure, you know, we talked about what happened between Sting and Triple H, how Triple H took that went away from Sting at WrestleMania, but I don't think that Sting would hold that against Triple H if Triple H came to him and said, "Hey, I want you to come in here and manage somebody," you know.
Right. Listen, I just think what's happened here is the tide is turning, and everybody realized they thought the grass was greener on the other side. Oh, AEW is going to be a more open federation. It's all going to be about the workers, and Tony Khan appreciates the workers, and we're all going to be able to go over there and do our own thing, and it's going to be so wonderful, and we're going to get super compensated for it. And then they get over there, and it's Lord of the Freaking Fly. And they realize this isn't what we signed up for. This isn't the way things are supposed to run. And there you go. There you go. You got wrestlers over there saying, "I don't follow any rule book that I was given. I don't follow any guidelines that I was given. What are you talking about?" How about if your code of conduct in, let's say you work at Target or you work at Walmart or whatever, and they say, "Well, this is the kind of way you have to dress and this is what you have to do and whatever," and you say, "Yep, thank you very much. I'll just rip that up and throw that in the trash can. You won't be seeing me doing any of that." How long do you think you're going to work there? That's the respect they have for Tony Khan. Zero. Because I got news. If I worked for AEW and Tony Khan handed me a rule book that said, regardless of what your character is, you have to come to work every day in a suit and tie. You can change in the locker room, but I want to see everybody in suits and ties. And I say, that's absolutely ridiculous. No one's even going to see me. Why do I have to get up and dress in a suit and a tie after traveling to get here and everything? This is dumb. Doesn't matter. That's his rules. If I'm taking his money, I'll do it. If I don't want to do it, I won't sign the contract. But they sign the contract and then say, "Yeah, your rules mean nothing, and you don't have the balls to fire me, and you're not going to do anything about it because I'm a star, and I'll do what I want to do." This all goes back to what I said about Vince McMahon. You can say whatever you want about him losing his edge when it came to creativity and everything, and maybe he did. But none of this would have ever happened in the WWE. Not because they were afraid of Vince McMahon or even afraid of losing their job. Some of these guys were millionaires anyway, and they could have wrote their own ticket anywhere. He earned their respect, and they said, his federation, his rules. When Booker T got into the fight with Batista, he said, "You know, I was not afraid of Batista. And Batista was not afraid of me. And we went at it. But we knew one thing. We didn't want to go at it with Vince McMahon. So we were supposed to wrestle, and we were like, well, we're going to wrestle. And we're going to do this professionally, because if we don't, we're shitting on the company that signs our paycheck." AEW, a lot of the wrestlers don't care if they shit on the company that signs their paycheck. They don't care. And that's what happens when you let them run the show. You can't have it. As far as I know, Cody Rhodes and his association with the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega is not very high right now. I never hear him talking about him. I never hear him tweeting back and forth. I think that relationship is strained, and I think it's because Cody Rhodes said, I just don't think they're qualified to do what you're giving them the job to do. Take a look at Cody Rhodes right now. Is he better off in AEW, or is he better off now in the WWE? Now, you can argue the WWE didn't see the writing on the wall until he became a big star in AEW. That's true enough. But he wasn't going anywhere. Where is he now? That's the difference. So I want to talk about Matt Riddle because this guy's a chucklehead. I have to tell you that I never really cared for Matt Riddle anyway. I did find some of the stuff he did with RK-Bro funny, and I liked the team. But I knew from the beginning Matt Riddle was trouble. And now that he's gone from the WWE and he's on the circuit of doing all these wrestling talk shows and everything, he is solidifying my point. He's just making shit up, basically, now. Now he's saying, well, I was scheduled to win the Royal Rumble and go on to WrestleMania and Brock Lesnar at the last minute without telling anybody, went into business for himself and won that match. That is bullshit. Brock Lesnar wouldn't go into that ring. What's he going to do? Go into that ring when you're supposed to win and say, I'm winning, kid, and nobody knows it but me. And then the WWE says, well, I guess we're just going to have to, or he didn't win it. Yeah, he did win it that year. He climbed the ladder, right? I'm winning it, and the WWE doesn't know I'm winning it, but they're just going to have to put up with it. No. He did not do that, Matt. You're lying. There's no way Brock Lesnar, with his theme music playing, comes down and wins a match that he was not scheduled to be in or win. How stupid do you think we are? Lay off the marijuana for a half second. That didn't happen. And now there's a bunch of people at WWE saying he was never scheduled to win it to begin with. He's delusional. We never considered Matt Riddle to win either one of the Royal Rumbles he said he was going to win. Said he was going to win two of them. Then he says, Brock Lesnar came over to me, grabbed me by the back of the neck, and said to me, keep my name out of your mouth because we're not working together now. We're not working together ever. You understand? And because I wanted to keep my job, I said, fine, whatever you want, bro. And security came over and said, do you need some help here? Everybody else in that locker room said, Brock Lesnar calmly walked over to Matt Riddle, put his arm around him, and said, stop trying to go into business for yourself. I'm not interested in working with you. It's not going to happen now. It's not going to happen later. So you're wasting your time. Now Matt Riddle has turned it into Brock Lesnar basically assaulted me. Just like he turned into a typical TSA pat-down into a sexual assault. There's something wrong with the man. I don't know what to tell you. I knew he was trouble from day one, and this is why you don't alter the rules for people. What did Matt Riddle say when he first decided he was going to sign with WWE? I'm not going to sign unless I'm able to smoke marijuana. So they said, okay, well, you can smoke marijuana. You just can't do it when you're wrestling. Instead of just saying, well, tough then, you're not coming. Because we got a rule that says you're not going to be smoking marijuana. You do it in your own time. We don't, whatever. We can't stop you from doing it in your own time. You're not doing it on our time. So here we go with Matt Riddle now with a million stories. He was supposed to be champion. He was supposed to win the Royal Rumble. He was supposed to be whatever. And everyone in the WWE is refuting this, saying, I don't know where this is coming from. There was never any serious talks about him winning any Royal Rumble. There was never any serious talks about making him a champion or even putting him up against the top guy in the main event of WrestleMania. He was never that player. And Brock Lesnar did not assault him backstage. There's a reason Seth Rollins doesn't like him, and this is the reason. So that's one more example, Mike, of another guy that's just, you know, he lets his mouth get in the way of his profession.
Right. I mean, look, Louis, whatever his name is, from Best Times in Ridgemont High, was the comparison for the gimmick or whatever. But I compared it more of of a poor man, say, Rob Van Dam, but even Rob Van Dam didn't give the conditions when he was working for the WWE, right? You know, and hell, look, we know the problems in his personal life that Jeff Hardy had, but Jeff Hardy was smarter than that. Well, in terms of the problems, not in terms of the problems, but he never went into business or tried to go into business for himself. He never made that mistake the way what's his name? Now he made a bunch of other mistakes, did Jeff Hardy, but he didn't make that mistake. He was smart enough to understand that you don't want to run afoul of Vince McMahon or Stephanie or whomever, you know. He was not stupid enough to go into business for himself. That's what this guy is. And if Tony Khan is actually thinking about it, I wouldn't. But hey, if he's thinking about it, let him think about it. Let him do it. You know, whatever. It's his company. That'll hasten the destruction of AEW, in my mind. But if he wants to do it, do it. You know, I'm not gonna argue with it.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. There has to be a rule. Someone has to make a rule that you can't have these wrestlers just go on these shows and just, you know, Vince McMahon for a long time. I remember that I used to do freelance writing for wrestling magazines, and I would go out and try to, you know, talk to some of the wrestlers, and a lot of them actually liked me, and they would talk to me. And then one day I had one, I will not mention, tell me, I can't do it anymore. I'd like to. I can talk to you off the record and everything, but you can't write about it because the new rule is the WWE magazine is the only place we can talk to. They don't want us to talk to any of the other magazines or have any freelance writers or anything. And at the time, I was like, you know, fuck that. I hate that rule. And it's dumb and it's self-destructive and everything. But then I thought about it. Now I'm thinking about it and saying, this is why, though. This is why. Because you don't want some half-drunk wrestler after a show stumbling and saying, you know who I hate? That son of a bitch so-and-so. And then I write about it. And then it comes out and everybody's like, well, you shouldn't have said that because that's supposed to be your tag team partner and your best friend. And you can't have this. See, the wrestlers want now, modern day wrestling, the wrestlers want top money, top billing, and the ability to do anything they want at any time they want and not have to give up anything or sacrifice anything to get that. Oh, that's freedom of speech if I want to talk about it. Yeah, but you can't because it's part of the business. You know, you'll hear politicians. Oh, I have something coming up. I can't really tell you what it is now. Yeah, of course you can't. Because you're building up to something. Well, when the WWE or AEW is building up to something and everybody blows the whistle on it, then I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. Anyway, Todd, you know, if I ran a wrestling federation, one of my first rules, and it would be followed by everybody, is if you want to go on social media, you go on social media as your character. You do not deal in any kind of factual things. You do not give any kind of leaked information. You don't give any personal information. If your tag team partner is supposed to be your best friend and you hate that person's guts and never want to work with them again, but you grit your teeth and do it, I don't want to hear you say anything but good things about him, because to the world, he's your best friend. That's the price you pay for being a professional wrestler. You have to put your character first. You can't go online and say, well, I know we're supposed to be friends, but he's a total dick, and he did this to me and that to me. You can't do that kind of stuff, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said about social media, you got to act like you got to play the nice guy on social media. You got to keep your personal life out of your professional life on the social media thing. If you're in a wrestling company, that's the rule.
Yes, and it goes for the heels too. I hate it when the heels oh, I'm supposed to be this horrible, you know, anti-American, anti-fan person. And then you go on social media and say, here I am with some fans at a 4th of July celebration with a nice American flag waving, big smile on my face, and here's a picture of me with my family. Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Do you think that helps you? Because it doesn't. Do you think it helps the company that's signing your paycheck? Because it doesn't. And that's another thing. I wouldn't allow it. I tell them, if I see stuff like that, you're being fined. I'm sorry. Now, I'm not saying you should be rude to a fan. If a fan wants an autograph and they see you, sign the autograph. If you want to sign the autograph. Even if you're a heel. But no, you can't post it on your own page. It's one thing if a fan says, here's a picture of me with a top heel that he was nice enough to take. Okay. But then when the heel says, here I am, it's on my social media account. Here I am being a nice guy. I don't understand that.
Right, and here's the thing. Think about this, okay? When CJ Perry and Rusev got married, they put pictures of themselves on their official pages, which was probably a mistake because WWE had plans for them at the time, but they kind of ruined those plans. So that shouldn't happen. And, of course, you talk about only going on your official Twitter page, whatever, as your character. You know who had that down pat? Bray Wyatt.
Yes, absolutely. This is why I've always admired Bray Wyatt. He never treated the fans like they were stupid. He didn't mistreat the fans when he was a heel, but he also didn't go out of his way to post jolly pictures of himself with the people he was supposed to be enemies of. And when he went on Twitter or any kind of social media, he stayed in sort of that Bray Wyatt persona. Because he understood it's the promotion of the business. People are not getting this. They're just not getting it anymore. It's a shame. It really is. Anyway, I did want to mention a couple other news items. One is that Mickie James is now going to be, I guess, doing some wrestling promotion or at least some creative for Ohio Valley Wrestling. That's interesting. She returned, I think, in what? November, right? Yeah, was it November? I don't remember when she returned. But anyway, in 2024... it was like a Nightmare Rumble or something. I don't know. Was it January? It was January. Anyway, Ohio Valley Wrestling, I guess, is going to or has her under contract to continue to work for them. So I guess Mickey, not in the ring, I don't think. So I guess Mickie James is going to be doing some creative and maybe some announcing and stuff for Ohio Valley Wrestling, Mike.
Well, yeah, and, Aldis wants her back. He wants her with him, you know, as his wife. Of course he would. I don't know if they're exactly tied with the WWE right now, Ohio Valley, if they're not one of their, I know NXT is, but I don't know if Ohio Valley is. So, I mean, could she absolutely in the next, say, 8 months to a year end up in WWE? I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, no, well, we'll wait and see what ends up happening there. Obviously, I think Nick Aldis would love it if she came over. She is getting a little bit older. I don't know how much longer she would actually want to be physically in the ring. But, there is something to be said about maybe having some of the former wrestlers, former workers that were female, maybe having a stable and managing some females or whatever. Trish Stratus did it well. Yeah, she got in the ring, but, Trish Stratus was doing it well for a while. Maybe that would be another way to use some of the more legendary women and keep them around longer. I do think, and I don't think it's because of the body structure, I just think women tend to not want to stay wrestling as long as men. A guy will wrestle like Ric Flair till he's 70, right? And in some occasions, like Mae Young and Moolah, they will too. But for the most part, I think a woman starts to hit around maybe late 30s, early 40s, and says, that's enough for me. I don't really want to do this anymore. At least that's traditionally what I've seen. So maybe it's not that they don't want to be a part of the business anymore. It's just that they don't take the bumps. Now, Mae Young and Moolah grew up in a different era, and they were taking bumps in their 70s and 80s. But I don't think that's the case for most modern women wrestlers. And then they really have no place in the business, right? And they feel like, well, the business left me behind. I got too old. Well, maybe it would be a good idea to start some of these people into managing or into creative or into an on-air role that isn't really involving a lot of physical activity would be fine. Now, Mickie James can still wrestle, obviously. She's still got some years she can wrestle. But, I mean, in general, that could happen. I wouldn't be opposed to that at all. I think it's a good idea. So now that the WWE apparently has turned over their quote-unquote new leaf, and we've seen Kevin Dunn leave, and Vince McMahon is, you know, supposedly out completely and things, we've definitely seen a shift in the way the programming is. One thing that's gone, that thank God it's gone, and I hear it was directly attributed to Kevin Dunn, and that is that shaky camera nonsense, like there's an earthquake. I used to hate that. I don't know why anyone thought that was a good idea, but that was like the dumbest idea I've ever seen. And I'm so glad that's gone. And I'm hearing that we may be seeing Andretti as early as tonight. As early as tonight. Now, I don't have any information he's going to be there tonight, but he could be. There's nothing stopping him from being there. So I'm imagining we'll see Andretti quite soon. What position he'll be in, I'm not sure. You know, I was thinking he'd probably have something to do with Charlotte Flair and they'd try to be a power couple, but with her out for a year, they're probably not going to do that right away. Well, what could they do? So now I'm thinking probably LWO in some way. Is he going to be a face and side with them, or is he going to be the heel? I don't know. I'm hoping it's face. Because Santos Escobar makes a really good heel and probably a better heel than Andrade. I don't think Escobar is necessarily a better wrestler than Andrade, but he is a better heel. Andrade doesn't have the, I don't know, he makes a different kind of heel. He makes a more smug whatever heel, and that's fine, but the mouthpiece should be Santos Escobar because he's really good at it. He can get that crowd really upset. I'd rather see Andretti come back and maybe, because I don't know what's happening with Carlito. We haven't seen him in forever. So perhaps maybe he'll side with Carlito. I don't know. I don't know what they'll use him for. But I hear he's on his way back, Mike. Where would you use Andretti if you were the WWE?
Well, if what's his name, if Ray is gone for a significant amount of time, which apparently he is, and you're not ready to flip, Dom. You'll flip Mommy, but you're not ready to flip Dom yet. Then I would say go ahead and put him with the LWO. And basically, look, they just brought back Angel and Humberto, right?
Yep.
They can speak. They can speak on the mic. You know, they're good. Their English is good enough, and, you know, if you want to, yeah, you're right, Andrade makes that smug heel, but again, that, if they turned Carlito, that's the exact type of heel Carlito would be that smug heel, right?
Yeah, yep. Yeah, so, listen, I would be up for some Santos Escobar versus Andretti matches. I think those would be very, very strong matches. Carlito, you know, is a little past his prime now, and he's still a good worker, but I think, you know, listen, there's no contest. If you want a longer, more drawn-out match, Andrade and Santos Escobar would be fantastic. So I think I would probably hook him up with the LWO if he returns, Todd. What's your thoughts?
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, I would have done the same thing, too, have Andrade be a member of the LWO. And I don't think he was great as a heel, but I think he was better as a face when he was in, when he, I think he could pull off a face better than Santos Escobar also.
Yeah, Escobar as a face didn't work for me. He was just too, I don't know, it was almost like he was trying too hard. And fans were just not, I don't know, they just weren't buying it. When Escobar cut loose as a heel, fans bought it. And he's way better as a heel. Andrade can be charming enough to be a face, I think. If he, you know, he doesn't say that much anyway. He lets his wrestling do the talk for him. I would tend to think Andrade versus Santos Escobar could draw money if it was handled in the right way. Especially, like Mike said, if Ray's going to be out for an extended period of time and we're not really going to get that right away, then, you know, it would probably behoove the WWE to put him in that spot. We'll see what happens with that. I think we're going to see him probably before the Royal Rumble, or maybe he's going to be a surprise entrant into the Royal Rumble. I don't know. I did get asked a couple of questions, so I'll answer those questions quickly. I was asked if there's any chance at all that MJF shows up in the Royal Rumble. The answer is no. He's legitimately hurt. Not showing up in the Royal Rumble. I know that they took him off the AEW page of whatever, but I do not believe that his contract has expired yet. I do not believe that he has signed with anybody else. I believe he's injured. I believe he's taking time off. Then we'll see what happens. I don't know. You know, this is a guy who's still pretty early on into his career, and already he's saying, I want to limit my wrestling and go more into acting. Okay, well, you know what? You better centrally focus on what you want to focus on. You've got a lot of time in your late 30s, early 40s to be an actor. Right now, you don't have a ton of time to be a wrestler, so you got to decide what you want to be. Anyway, folks, we'll enjoy SmackDown tonight. It should be very, very interesting, and we will be back here on Friday. I do want to make one program note. This Tuesday, our Monday Night Raw report will not be at 12 noon. It will be 6 p.m. at night due to a prior engagement. So we'll be here on Sunday as normal at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But Tuesday, for our Monday Night Raw report, it will be 6 p.m. just for this 1 week only. So make a note of that. We'll talk to you on Sunday. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.